The prophet Isaiah wrote, "The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." Today, we'll learn about the last of four great gifts God gave us in sending His Son to earth so long ago. Thanks for joining us for another Christmas edition of Running to Win. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on Christ, the Gift, and today he brings the final message in his series, Christ, the Gift of Liberty.
Christ, the Gift of Liberty. What is liberty? What is freedom? Well, John Locke probably said it as well as anyone else has when he says that freedom is the ability to act or not to act according as we shall choose or will. That's a pretty good definition of liberty. Now, of course, there are different kinds of freedom, and today we think, for example, of political freedom. We are aware of the fact that there are still some countries of the world who do not have that, and as a result, they are enslaved, oftentimes by dictators. The wisdom, of course, of those who wrote the Constitution of the United States is that they refuse to give the president a great deal of power. There are checks and balances because those who wrote the document knew that the potential for corruption was awesome and great. History had proven that. Political freedom. There's another kind of freedom as well, and that is personal freedom. That's the ability to live wherever you want to live, choose whatever career you want to choose, get married to whom you wish to get married, that is to say, unless the other party is not in agreement, you understand, there are obvious limitations. Martin Luther wanted to give us freedom of conscience, and we thank God that he stood there in Worms and says, "My conscience is taken captive by the word of God." What he was doing there is to say that at the end of the day, when it comes to religion, one must be free in his conscience. Well, today, however, I speak about a different kind of liberty, a different kind of freedom, and that is freedom from the blinding absorption of sin. It's the kind of freedom that does not allow you to do whatever you like, which some people define as freedom, but rather than thinking of that, it is the kind of freedom that allows you to do what you should and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and get on with the business of fulfilling the purpose for which you were created. Now, that's the kind of freedom that the Bible talks about. This is a kind of freedom that you can even have if you're in a political regime where there is no political freedom. Back in the late 1980s, when the Soviet Union had not yet fallen, Rebecca and I went there. We ministered in different churches, and in the process, we met men and women who were free in their souls. Though they did not yet have freedom of assembly or freedom of speech, those things were just coming their way, but they weren't there yet. But it is possible, you know, to be free within, even though you aren't free without. We're talking about a sense of liberty that involves joy, a sense of freedom. And that's the freedom that Jesus spoke of. The text today is the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter 8, and we shall pick it up at verse 31. John 8, 31. Now you have to understand the context here, because Jesus is speaking to Jews, some of whom believed in him and some of whom did not believe on him. And so what he's doing is helping them to siphon through their own faith, to understand whether or not their faith is genuine. But he's talking about freedom, and it's a kind of freedom that only Jesus can bring. Verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we shall be set free?" And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What a statement. Now today we're going to discuss freedom. Some of you come with addictions. You come to this situation with habits, behavioral ruts that are deep, that have been well worked. You come with foundations that go back to your family of certain patterns that you cannot break, and you say, there is no way that I can be free. Jesus is going to tell us you can be free indeed. And by the time this message is over, I expect some of you to be delivered. Now, what we'd like to do today is to go on a fact-finding mission. And I'd like to give you some facts that Jesus talks about here that will help us get a handle on what freedom is and will eventually lead to liberation and spiritual freedom. The first fact is this: truth exists. Truth exists. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, years ago, you didn't have to begin there. It was generally believed that truth existed. But today in our, quote, postmodern age, people say there is no truth. Now, when I went to school, which was a ways ago, it was often said that truth is that which the majority believe. That's devastating, but today it is even more devastating. Truth happens to be what I believe, what I make it out to be. And what people say is that whatever I think is true, and catch this, it is true simply because I think it. And so everybody makes up his own truth. Well, I want you to know that biblically, truth resides in God. That word truth in the scripture is very closely aligned to trust, because what it says is that there are some things that are reliable because they are true, and they are true because God delights, the scripture says, in truthfulness. God is truth. Now that means immediately that truth has some interesting characteristics, doesn't it? For example, it has universality. It applies to all cultures. None of this idea of saying, well, you know, there are certain religious truths that are in the West, but not in the East. No. Truth ultimately is like mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4. You say, well, is it true for all cultures? Is 2 + 2 = 4? Even if the moon should turn to green cheese, would 2 + 2 still be equal to 4? Yes. You say, well, would 2 + 2 be equal to 4 if all of the oceans suddenly disappeared and evaporated overnight? Yes, 2 + 2 would still be equal to 4. You say, would 2 + 2 still be equal to 4 if the Cubs were actually able to win a World Series? You say? That's the point at which one might question whether or not 2 + 2 is still equal to 4. But the answer is yes, because it has universality. Truth also has consistency. There's no such thing as a contradiction. It actually exists. Truth has objectivity. It exists outside of myself. A scientist may investigate a star, and then the scientist might not even see the star. By the way, did you know that next year for Christmas, you could actually buy a star for somebody? Now, that's the best deal I've ever heard of. I wish I had thought of that. Advertising, I'll sell you a star. And, you know, nobody can go up there to check it out to see whether or not you like it. But if you're in the mood and the right telescope, you can see what you've bought. You can see your property up there. Listen, my friend, I want you to know today that facts do not disappear even if people do not have regard for them or ignore them. Truth has objectivity. It exists outside of ourselves. The star would be there whether it was found or not if it exists. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth." Truth exists. You say, well, where is religious truth found? Where is the kind of truth found that will set me free? Well, we look at the text. He says, verse 31, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. and the truth shall set you free. First of all, it is rooted in the sayings of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is what Jesus tells us. Thy word is truth. And then, of course, it is found also in the person of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Life. Ich bin der Weg und die Wahrheit und das Leben. Niemand kommt zum Vater denn durch mich. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thought I'd throw a little bit of heavenly language in there for your benefit. You see, because the scripture says regarding Christ, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You think of any attribute of God, and Jesus has it. Is God omniscient? Christ was, though he didn't always use his omniscience. Is he omnipotent? Why, the scripture says, by him all things were created, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Truth exists, and it resides in God's words and in God's Son. Someone asked an old music teacher. Now, not all music teachers are old, but some are. He says, what's the good word for the day? You know, we sometimes say that to one another. And the teacher apparently went over to the side of the room and took a tuning fork. And then, having done that, took a hammer and hit the tuning fork and said, that is an A. That is an A. The soprano who is above me in the room, he says, is always off key. The tenor across the hall flats when he gets to high notes. The piano is out of tune, but that is an A. It was an A 1,000 years ago. It'll be an A 1,000 years from now. That is an A. My friend, Washington headlines may not always be good. They seldom are. We don't know what the future holds. Promises are made by politicians that are not kept. All kinds of false cults arise within our nation, and people go wandering off in all kinds of false paths, and they don't know where to turn. And sometimes in the dark, you wonder whether or not there still is something that you can hang on to. And I say to you today, this is truth. This is truth. Truth exists. Yes, my friend, today truth exists, and it exists in Jesus. I want to just take a moment and tell you that from my heart to yours today, I do wish you a blessed Christmas. This is a very busy season for us, as I'm sure it is for you, and I want to thank those of you who support us. For those of you who pray for us, for those of you who give financially, we are deeply appreciative. Together, we are making a difference. God bless you, and I'll see you right here next time.
Today, Erwin Lutzer brought part one of Christ, the Gift of Liberty, the last of four messages about God's great Christmas gift to us. Tomorrow, join us for more insights on truth and how only through Christ can we really be free. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. All four messages in our Christ the Gift series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.